because it's a difficult topic to talk about prayer, and there's no way we can cover it all in one meeting, but everybody probably thinks they know this already, and the hardest people to talk to are those that think they already know everything there is to know. So we have to get to the place where we know that we don't know everything, and that there is a new way, and perhaps a better way being presented to us all the time. And so when we talk about renewing our mind, prayer is one of the things we need to renew our minds about. Can we agree with that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think that a paradigm is a thought or a mindset that's implanted in our consciousness. And we have thought about it, contemplated about that thought for so long that it is lodged in our consciousness and become a fact. And so when we hear new things that don't agree with our paradigm that we've already preset, then sometimes it's hard to hear something else. And I know last week I said a couple things that were new and different, particularly about prayer. And so I just wanted a chance to talk about that a little more. Your thinking determines your battles. Your thinking determines your future. Your thinking determines your destination. Your prayers determine what you battle. Your prayers determine your future, and your prayers determine your destination. And a misunderstanding about this subject can really alter your life. So let's look at slide one. And you know, I talk about this every single time that I teach just about, but it is the creational intention, or what God created from the very beginning when he said, let us, plural, make humankind in our image and in our likeness, and let them have dominion. Dominion can be really misunderstood, but dominion means that we respond to his image. Dominion is ever expanding. It's understanding where we are in the new day. So let's look at the next slide, please. The Lord formed, that's the word yatsar, it means like a potter. He formed the human from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the human became a living being. You see, we have no life. We are not human beings without the breath of life, which comes from God. And we've seen so much about that lately in the news. When we take somebody's breath away, we don't understand that they are a human being. We have no life. Now, what do we struggle with? If we're breathing, we're called to action, and we're called to understand what our assignment is. So the next slide, and we're just going to review a few of these, and then we'll get to what I want to say here. For God knows, the next slide, please. For God knows that when you eat of this tree, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So we know, and when I've taught about equality for the last 50 days, you know that their eyes were already open before they ate. And this is a lot about what's in my connecting book. But when they ate, the scripture says, their eyes were open. Their eyes were open to a different reality. All of us see now in this reality that was open, and that was what was presented from the fall. The next slide, please. So here we live here in this place of fallen perception. Most of our trials exist in this fallen place in the world. And it's a heavy place, isn't it? And it's a place where we see sorrow and sadness. Okay, we can stop the slides for a while. So, you know, I used to think that it was my responsibility to pray about everything in the whole wide world, and that it was just exhausting for me. I took upon myself a personal responsibility to carry the burden of the world. And then came the teaching, can you not pray for an hour? And I was pastoring a church, and so we had hour-long prayers every day. And I realized that was the hardest thing in the whole world, because we didn't know how to pray for an hour. And it was obligation. It was obligation rather than understanding where we were going. And I finally realized that it didn't depend on how long or how loud that we prayed. The God of all ages was waiting for us to find him. I love this quote here from Archbishop Trent. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It's laying a hold of his highest willingness. Isn't that good? I just love that. Prayer is not over. God is not reluctant to answer our prayers, but we have to lay a hold of what is his willingness. So prayer really differs from what we've known, because we have known to pray and pray and pray and pray and try to get what we want. And so many people are disappointed because that doesn't happen. And we haven't understood that we're praying amiss. Pharisees pray from head knowledge and never connect to the Spirit of God. Most of my life, I've had long, loud, laborious shopping lists of what to pray about. Come on. It was exhausting to me. It was out of obligation and duty. It was driven from tradition. I tell you, it was so hard for me to understand that I really didn't know how to pray correctly. I had notebooks full of things to pray for every day, and it was just so exhausting. Is anybody with me here? Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? I mean, I just felt like all these bad things were happening because I didn't pray enough. But I couldn't. And I didn't know how to tap into God's abundant life. I didn't know how to encounter the Lord and apprehend what he wanted to impart to me. And then one day I realized that I was not responsible to stand in the gap. Oh my God. You know, in Ezekiel, it says, well, if I could only find someone who'll stand in the gap. So I thought that was me, and I had to stand in the gap. And it was years before I realized that that was old covenant. And that it was not my job to stand in the gap. I hope you are saying amen right now. Because Hebrews says that Jesus stands in the gap. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to him, seeing that he ever lives to make intercession for us. Jesus is the intercessor. Jesus is standing in the gap for you and me. Oh my God, does that mean I don't have to be responsible for this? He is already praying for me. And when it says he prays for us, that doesn't mean just in my behalf, but it means he prays in our stead. And he prays for me as in my stead, as I would pray. And then even more that I don't have to be the one standing in the gap. I read Romans 8 that says the Holy Spirit intercedes night and day for me beyond words. And he gives me prayer beyond words so that we can be birthed into the new day. The Holy Spirit ever intercedes. He comes alongside as our partner. He prays for me. Romans 8:26. That's so meaningful to me because it takes the burden off of me. What is my responsibility? I don't have to hold the world up by myself. The Lord said, his yoke for me is easy. And oh my God, I've been living in this place of agony, thinking, well, it's not happening. I haven't prayed enough. I haven't prayed enough. But the force and direction of agreeing with God is where we have to come. We have to come into this place of understanding what it is that God wants and then agree with that. We need to stop praying. And I wrote this down to tell you. We need to stop praying to God and start praying with him. Hello. Hello. Stop just praying to God. If Jesus is ever interceding, and if the Holy Spirit is ever interceding, what are they praying about? And how can I join into that prayer? When we combine forces with God, it's revolutionary. It's not my job to hold the world up by myself. Oh, what a relief on earth as it is in heaven. We begin to understand that I pray with him, not just to him. How can I revolutionize the force of my prayers until I understand? Hear me now. You can pray till hell freezes over by yourself and nothing will happen. Have you noticed? Over and over and over for years. And then we add to this, well, God willing, which is the escape clause for why things don't happen that we've asked for so long. What is it that God wants us to pray about? Are you with me? Have I just lost all of you now? And I talk about this a lot, but there's two things that we don't pray for. The disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. And, you know, he said, our Father which art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Or what? Now, think about that, because that all happened. That all happened. What Jesus was praying is the certainty of an already future act. Jesus was saying, I'm in agreement with this because this is what's going to happen. He's showing us how to pray about a certainty. It's what was anticipated. The reality of the kingdom of God coming to earth is why he came to earth. So, you know, if we don't understand that that kingdom came when he died, Jesus came to give us the kingdom. It was a future act when he said it, but it was an accomplished act when he died. So, number one, we don't pray and ask God to do something that he's already finished. We agree with what he's already finished. We agree with what he's saying will come to pass. But we don't pray for things that he's already done. We have to comprehend what is the work of the cross and begin to state and pray and declare from a finished position. Jesus did do what he prayed. Isn't that a great way of looking at it? He prayed that his assignment would come to pass and that he would be able to fulfill thy kingdom come. It would come by the choices that Jesus made. And he began to speak it. And he said, and I want you to all speak this with me. Let's all have this conversation together that what God had intended from the beginning will come to pass. And we don't ask it, but we state it from a finished position. Is that clear? The second thing is that we don't ask God to do what he's told us to do. If God has already told you to do something, you don't need to ask him again about that. You can ask him how you should do it, but don't pray about what you already know you're supposed to be doing, except how. Listen, we need to find a revelation that's greater than the situation that we live in. You can't just pray that God will bless you. Oh, God, bless me with a new car and a swimming pool. Because, you know, we've been taught this confession, which I totally believe in, but we've been taught in excessive ways that aren't true. So we can't ask God to do something just because I want it. I want this now. And so many of us, so many people think that if they pray long enough, they'll get their way. And sometimes God will give you your way, even if it's not the best thing for you, right? It says that Israel didn't like the judges. They wanted a king, and they prayed for a king, and they declared for a king, and it wasn't God's will. But finally, he gave up and gave them a king, and the kings mostly were evil and led them into terrible choices and decisions. But sometimes he'll give us what we ask for, and it's not to our benefit. And I think we can see that right now. The Christians have asked for certain leaderships and certain things, and then they think it's the will of God because it happens. And then another question that we must ask is, why do we think that the end of the world is here? Maybe we don't know that God has a plan for us in the future. Maybe we just didn't take the time to find out what he wants for our future. Maybe we're trusting in the wrong information about what God's intention is for this day. Maybe we're just agreeing with everybody else and what every other preacher is saying instead of finding out for ourselves what it is that God wants. Maybe we've trusted in wrong information. Maybe we believe prophets that aren't correct. You know, we have to know what God's plan is. If you think the end of the world is here, you're listening to the wrong information. You're listening to the wrong people. That is not God's desire for this world. He didn't create us to end us in catastrophe right now. God has a plan for me to bless me, to prosper me. He plans for me to live in health. You're the object of his mercy. Hosea says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because they've rejected knowledge. Listen, it's easy for people to be caught up in wrong information. It's easy for people to believe in conspiracy theories and all those things that we haven't taken the time to find out what God is really saying. We'll just hear another story and grab onto that and grab on to things that aren't true because we haven't taken the time to figure out, excuse me, what God's saying about it. Henry Ford said, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. And isn't that true? You can, it is what you think. It is what you believe. It is what you pray. So if the Holy Spirit is ever present, and if Jesus is praying all the time for me, as me, and the Holy Spirit is praying and interceding for me and as me, do I need to beg or shout or hoop it up or dance? Do I have to do that? Do I have to plead and beg? Do I have to have ritual? Do I have to kill animals and have a sacrifice so that God will hear me? Come on. Is spiritual warfare really that guy is hard of hearing? Or is the Lord and the Holy Spirit that dwells within me ever praying all the time? Do you understand? I don't have to pray. I am prayer. God, help me. Help me. Because the Lord is ever praying in me. We don't have to ask for the Holy Spirit to come to us if his fullness abides. If the Holy Spirit ever abides in me, do I ever have to say, Holy Spirit, come? If the fullness of Christ dwells in me. So Jesus came to give us the kingdom. So did he? Or are we still waiting? Are you waiting? Or are we praying from the aspect that we're seated in heavenly places? Or are you waiting for something more to happen? Does something more have to happen? Or did Jesus accomplish what he came to do? So we have to agree with God. Prayer agrees with God. In the garden, God was looking for likeness and image, right? And agreement with him is walking in his image and in his likeness. Prayer speaks with authority to decree God's comprehensive victory. Prayer decrees victory over evil and religion and religious people and injustice. Prayer can dismantle long-standing rigid mindsets. But the Lord of the universe knows what you need before you even ask, doesn't he? Jesus lifted up his eyes unto heaven and he said, Lord, I know that you know what we need before we pray. He just lifted up his eyes to apprehend. I know you already know, God, what we need here. It's not a struggle. It's not a struggle to speak things that are not into existence. But to ask for something that you're not supposed to have is just ridiculous. If we ask for a building to build a church, but we're not called to have a church, you see. How many people? We're not called, some people are not called to have a ministry, but everybody thinks they are. But some people are more effective in other realms. Some people are gifted in other realms, and let's find that place. I've told you before, I had this guy in my church who was determined to be a rock singer. And he was always asking for prayer to have doors open for him to make records and stuff. But the problem was that he was tone deaf. Yeah. And he couldn't hold a note that was on the right key. And yet he didn't know. And all of his effort was put toward doing something that he was not called to do. It was not in the will of God. You see, we have to come into agreement with God's intention in our lives. We have to harmonize and synchronize our words with the objectives of God. And so if you are asking for something that's not yours to have, you're going to spend your life being frustrated, right? The word intercession means to encounter or have an intersection. We can intersect with God's purposes to discover what they are. I love to think about this because we need to co-labor. God shows us, you see, we intercede to know God's will. I just think that's remarkable. What is our intercession about? To know the will of God. To reproduce his way of thinking. I intercede to know God's will. My breakthrough in prayer. You want a breakthrough? The breakthrough is to know his will. The breakthrough is to then say, okay, and what is my part in this? What is my part? If you're overcome with grief today about global situations, your breakthrough is to know your part, isn't it? What is it? Is there anything you can do about it or not? Is there something that you are supposed to do about this? Mary, when she found out that she was pregnant, said to Gabriel, she said, what? Let it be unto me according to thy word. Her confession was to come into alignment with what God intended for her from the beginning. Her confession was, according to your word, God, according to what your will is for me. Her confession was the word homologio, which means to speak the same thing, to agree with, to declare in faith, God, your will for me. I come into what? Alignment for that. This is intercession, right? This is the part where we hear God's will, we know his will, and now what? We come into agreement with it, and we begin to declare it. Confession is the consequence of intercession. When you know God's will, then you make the confession and agree with God's word from a deep conviction. Confession is courageous in its declaration of what you believe God has said to you. Oh my God. Oh my God. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to see how to decree what you have ordained from eternity past, God. Thank you that we can speak your word in all situations. When we know your will, Lord, we can command circumstances. We can speak your mind, God, in prayer. Lord, thank you that we can know. Now, let me talk a little bit. I have a little bit of time, right, that I can say a few more things. Can I have the next slide, please? God's will. Okay, there. The word cosmos means to order a set form, the mold or fashion of something, the world, the arrangement of civilization, humanity, education, humanitarianism, politics. Those are all the things that are in the world. Now, we need to take a dominion over what is ours. And we need to stop plowing in the same old fields. Disorder, wars, laws, traffic, taxes, religion, that's all in the world, right? In the earth, we have sky and oceans and forests and animals and plants. But in the world, we see that there's evil. Can the next slide, please? So the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the what? Cosmos, the world. And he showed him the glory of the world. And the enemy took Jesus to this place and he said, all these things I'll give to you if you'll fall down and worship me. All these things in the world, we can have. If that's your choice, if that's your decision. The enemy orders the world. And I don't think that's just a distinctive entity, but evil. Evil rules the world, right? Next slide, please. And this is what's so amazing now. The God of this world, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. If you're not perishing, you can see this. In their case, the God of this world, who? The God of this world has blinded the minds of people that don't believe and keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the likeness of God. As we're praying, we have to separate and we have to see the difference. And we have to understand what is the world. And how we're praying about the world differs from how in our approach. Because we've been looking at the world and screaming and yelling and hollering at the world like that's going to help. I've been in spiritual warfare camps and conferences where we have yelled for days. But I doubt that the God of this world has blinded us from seeing the difference. Oh my God. So let's look at the next slide, please. We know that we are children of God. And the whole world is under the control of the evil one. See, now you're going to have a good Tuesday night discussion about this because... Because the whole world is under the control of evil. See, remember that tree with the fallenness and how we look with fallen eyes? When fallen eyes only see the world. If you think about how the first couple, when they ate of the tree, said that they saw like the serpent said they would see. And so their eyes are veiled and all they see is the world. So the whole world is under the control of the evil one, who is the prince of this world. Jesus called him the prince of this world. So keep going now, next slide. So all of our prayers somehow are centered right here on, so far, when we've gone to prayer conferences, we have been praying here about strongholds, demonic strongholds, battles, wickedness and evil, demonic oppression, barriers. Is that right? That's where we've been praying. That's what we've been screaming against for years. Okay. We need to be able to challenge these paradigms and understand the devil's not holding you back. And understand that your war as a believer is not against the devil. But your war is in your mind. And did Jesus defeat the devil? Is this God of this world defeated? Next slide. These things have I spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. What? Jesus said he overcame the world. Now, hear me. All this demonic strongholds, wickedness, evil, demonic oppression, Jesus said he has already overcome it. And then in John, he said, and you're not of the world. You're in the world, but you're not of it. We live amidst this, but we're not in it. We're not in it. You're not in it. You're not part of it. You're not participating in the world because Jesus has already overcome the world. So how do we pray about the world? The scripture says that for this purpose, the Son of God manifested that he might destroy the evil one. Jesus came to destroy the enemy. So you have to know when you're praying, did Jesus do this, or are your prayers doing it? Because if you think that you can destroy the works of the evil one, I think we're mistaken in that idea. We can't just pray and destroy the God of this world, the prince of this world. We can't not do that. But we can begin to understand. But Lord, you said you did. So my war is not with the devil. Have I lost everybody here? Or are you mad at me? Or we have to have this Christ consciousness when we pray. The energy of putting, allowing Christ to come out of us. Lord, what you did, finished it for me. And it doesn't mean that evils around you is going to stop, because it's surrounding us, but it's not in us, and we are not of it. You hear what I'm saying? Next scripture, please. Jesus said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Basic, we've known that from the beginning. his function and duty and assignment was to take away the sin of the world. Next scripture, please. And Jesus said, my kingdom is what? Read it with me. My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not from here. All right. So if we're praying from a kingdom perspective, we are not praying in this world. Are you following me? We are not participating with the pain and distress and protests that are in this world. We can function understanding that God's kingdom is not a part of that. And he's called us to pray from his kingdom and speak into the situations from a kingdom perspective. Because I can't stop these problems by participating in them or screaming at them, can I? But I can understand I'm not part of this. So my declarations come from an agreement with what God said, and we speak agreement over those situations. Is that right? Tell me now. Okay, next slide. Jesus said, if you were of this world, the world would love his own. But because you, he's talking to his disciples, because you are not of this world, I have chosen you out of this world. Therefore, the world hates you. Right? You are not of this world. I just touch your head. I am not of this world. I'm not of this world. I am out of this world. I'm not participating in this same fight. I'm looking at it from another vantage point. Yes, I understand it. Yes, I understand the needs of the situation. But what is my part? My part comes from rising above the situations and seeing from a perspective that God sees it, and then understanding what my assignment is inside of that problem, or if I have an assignment even. Nicodemus said, next slide, you have to be born again or you can't see the kingdom. Man, I teach that day and night. If you're not really born again, you can't see the kingdom. You can't see what God's purposes are. You can't see that you're not part of the world. Only being born again separates us from the world and begins to see that there's two existing realities here, the kingdom and the world. And if I'm born again, I can see the kingdom. But if I'm not born again, I can only see what? The world. So let's look at the next slide, please. We're almost finished. So don't be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. My God, we've said that a million times, quoted that, but don't be conformed to what? The pattern of this world that I'm not a part of, because I'm part of the kingdom. Be transformed with the renewing of your mind to what? To not be a part of this world. But renew your mind that you might be able to test and approve God, what God's will is. Look at that. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, understanding you're not part of this world. Renew your mind. Why? Because then you can test and approve what God's will is. Isn't that what we said at the beginning? Well, how do we know what God's will is? By renewing our mind. And isn't that one of the platforms for the conservatories, to renew your mind? But do we understand why? Why we want to renew our minds? It's so that we understand that we're in the kingdom and we're not in this world, because that's the only way that we can find what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Praise God. That just is so amazing to me. Because, man, I'll tell you, I've taught Romans 12 longer than most of you guys have been alive. But we don't conform to the world. We become transformed into the kingdom by the renewing of our mind. Then you can test God's will. You can prove it. You can understand what it is. I can't understand his will unless I've renewed my mind. Praise God. Next slide, please. I'm hurrying here. I pray that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Paul's saying, oh, please see. Please look. He's not saying God open their eyes. Listen, he's not saying God open their eyes so they can see what is the hope and the riches and the glory of the saints. No, he's saying, I pray that you get your eyes open. Right? God's not going to open your eyes. You have to decide. You have to transform. You have to hear this. I pray that the eyes of your understanding be open or enlightened. So then we'll just close this by saying that effective prayer, next slide, is that we understand we're a new creation. We begin to perceive the kingdom. In doing that, we have a new level of dominion that we can walk in. We're not combating the world. We're coexisting on earth as it is in heaven. On earth, we live on earth as it is in heaven. Praise God. Lord, thank you. You see, the time is not that we begin to take over the church, but it's about taking over the world. Replacing, speaking life, having communion with the Lord to solve, to find strategies, to find solutions, to speak specific miracles, to gain instruction, to have plans and action and vision. When we understand our assignment, we obtain the answers that we need to go further into what God has for us. So now I just believe with you that you understand that there's no misunderstandings of what I've said, but that you understand with clarity your assignment, and you're not fighting the world on equal footing, but you are rising above. You're rising above the circumstances in this world right now. You're rising above the difficulties. You're not participating in the evil history of the past. Just hear me. We can know it, but it doesn't have a hold of us, and we're not participating in it because we don't live there. We don't exist there. You live in the kingdom of God. You rise up above the situations and you begin to have a better bird's eye view of what is happening in the world. And you move forward with consistency and with boldness and with the assurance that you are called to live right now. And your assignment is to be part of the answer and part of the solution. But only when we separate ourselves from the situation can we get the right perspective. Only when we have renewed our minds to the point that we can gain the perspective of God's will can we move into the place that we need to know what our assignment is. And so in Jesus' name, I speak life to you and hope to you and pray that this, I just pray that this teaching has meaning for you and that it will change your life, because breaking through in prayer is one of the biggest things that Christians need to do right now. We need to make our words effective. We need to understand that we are not under obligation, but that we have an assignment to be effective with our words, to speak with authority, and to know that God, when we speak the word of God and we walk in his image, that's when he hears us. And that's when we get the responses that we're looking for. And so in Jesus' name, I pray you're blessed. And I just thank you for this opportunity to be with you. I just thank you so much for letting me share with you. It means so much in this hour. And I'm just so grateful to Apostle Teresa for sharing her friends with me. And I hope I can see you again soon.